there was like, I didn't have the opportunity to sort of force my hand and, mm-hmm. you know, kind of love bomb her and get mm-hmm. all in her faces and things like that. So I had the space to pursue other mm-hmm. situations. Mm-hmm. At that time in my life, I had no business pursuing any relationship mm-hmm. with anybody. Mm-hmm. And that is kind of a good thing for, because mm-hmm. I learned that about myself in mm-hmm. that time when she had to tell me that, because had she told me right then, like, oh yeah, let's do this thing. Mm-hmm. It was so premature. I had to grow up a little bit at the time. I wasn't done with a couple of my habits and mm-hmm, things like mm-hmm. that. And so it gave me a little space to kind of figure it out.
That's so good.
And then we went strong for, even once we were able to get together, we were placed in a position socially mm-hmm. where there were so many people around us in our immediate circles that felt like they were family and that they could speak to certain things, which is completely normal. Mm-hmm. And I don't really fault, in hindsight, it didn't feel great at the time, but, and some of these people were family, like mm-hmm. you regard them as family. And so it was difficult navigating that space, allowing everybody to have their voice and respecting that family is going to have something to say about the important decisions you have in your life, mm-hmm. whilst also recognizing that their opinion is theirs.
That's good.
And the person that you ultimately are going to want to build something with is going to come down to you too.
So
it was almost like sort of by force, based on the reactions that we started to sort of see mm-hmm, in mm-hmm. not circles that you could avoid, mm-hmm. places like church, mm-hmm. places mm-hmm. like, you know, after church when mm-hmm. we're all kicking it, mm-hmm. people you can't avoid, people that you consider, in my case, like sort of aunties and uncles mm-hmm, or things like mm-hmm. that who have mm-hmm. this access to you, mm-hmm. But they don't recognize that they are sort of overstepping mm-hmm. their boundaries in a sense. And so we struggle with that. I failed her in a couple of key aspects. Because I wasn't able to navigate the amount of information that I disclosed to my family. And, you know, family is family. Mm-hmm. And they talk to other family. Mm-hmm. And so I, you know, would say certain things and I would be made to feel like, oh, well, you mm-hmm. just people having too much access mm-hmm. to speak mm-hmm. on your relationship. And it pushed us, one second, baby. Mm-hmm. It pushed us in a situation where we were all we had. Mm-hmm. So we couldn't go nowhere. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. so it was like, all right, this person stopped talking to me. I don't go around my aunties because mm-hmm. I don't really, for example, I don't go around these people in my family no more. So I don't, because I already know how they feel. Mm-hmm. And so it was just us. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of like, I don't know. We didn't have anywhere else to go because mm-hmm. everybody else seemed like they kind of.
Yeah.
But go ahead, people, I'm sorry. I don't want to cut you off.
That people will give their opinion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But what I was going to say is I think it was his godmom that helped navigate that part of our relationship. Because we're really, really new. We were still really, really young.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just her just like letting us know, you don't have to tell everybody everything. Mm-hmm. It is okay.
Because they're going
to
remember mm-hmm. when you move on, mm-hmm. my mother would say, when you move on and you forgave them, the family members is going to still remember and bring that up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, remember when he did? Mm-hmm. You've long forgot all about all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly.
they bring it up. And that's why sometimes keeping the family out of it is so mm-hmm. much better because they're going to point fingers. Mm-hmm. He did or she did. And I wouldn't. No, what works for me and my husband works for me and my husband.
Right. Exactly.
You know what I mean? And me and my wife is me and my wife. Stay out of our stuff. Mm-hmm. Because people, and it's okay sometimes, mm-hmm. but sometimes they don't need to be in your business.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
And I think this is a... go back to what you were saying about that balance. This is one of the ways we found it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Just conversations that you would have
mm-hmm.
and people that you would trust with certain information that you learn, mm-hmm. like, that should have only been to my
yes.
partner.
Mm-hmm.
And you got a chance to get that in trial and error. Like, you know, a couple conversations, you might say, oh, well, you know, this is what we're going to. You learn, okay, well, I can't take my problems to this person.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's that balance because that's now good. You're cutting off certain avenues that you know are not helpful. And
mm-hmm.
you're redirecting them to, you shrink your circle, shrink the amount of people that
yes.
you go to for counsel.
Yes.
Watch the people.
You need wise counsel.
You
wise.
Go to.
The Bible says wise counsel.
Everybody that's in your life that loves you, that cares about you, does not deserve an opinion about everything that you do.
Mm-hmm.
Some things
mm-hmm.
you need to just say, all right, let me go ahead mm-hmm. and go to my trusted.
Yes.
My one, that person that I've watched and, mm-hmm. and I've,
admire.
It's a big one. I've seen it work in their life.
There it is.
And so now I have even more of a reason to go to them for counsel, as opposed to before when we were in the situations that we were in. Family feels like, oh, we just gonna all walk up and let me pull you to the side. Let me holler at you. It's like, nephew, let me holler at you. Well, no, you know. And so it helped us find that balance in regards to what we disclose to other people about what we're going through. You get what I'm saying? And so it was good. A lot of that balance in that came from hardship. I mean, a lot of the balance that we found as far as how we relate to other people, we found that through hardship. And then even how we relate to one another, we found that through hardship. You don't find balance until you're aware of who you're with. Wife is very aware of who I was, and it gave her, it equipped her to be able to deal with me in the areas where I was sort of moving in a way that she didn't like. Because you know, I've been watching you. I'm aware. And so it starts with awareness, and we found those things out about each other in those earlier stages. And it helped us later.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful.
Yeah. And it went from a emotional high. We start off with an emotional high. We really were, because we leaned so much into each other because of those circumstances, it made us really close. And so by the time we broke up, got back together, broke up, and got back together, by that last time, we were 2-3 years older. We were 2-3 years more experienced. We were 2-3 years closer. And so when I finally made up our minds and that we were going to get married, I proposed to her and everything like that, we started off emotionally, like,
I remember that.
The first 3 or 4 years, like a lot of my boys, they didn't see me. We had this cute apartment in Montebello, borderline area. East LA. East LA / Montebello area. And it was just us. It was us. We were living our little, you know, young, only us love story. And then that was about 2-3 years, had our first kid.
That was six months.
Yeah, no. I'm saying that was as far as the whole process. We moved back with my mother. We had our first son. He came a little earlier than we expected, but by the we were good with it where we were. And then we finally got our first place. And it went from emotional high, me never being out with my friends, never really seeing them because I was just, it was just us. Everywhere we went to the fair was 7-Eleven for Slurpees. Like we were everywhere. Like we were, that's kind of how we were. And we transitioned from that into a situation where it wasn't a high no more. It wasn't very high. It was like, okay, I kind of don't like you as much as I thought. The kid is, the first kid is here. You spend so much time with each other. And then you start to, I think that's around the time where we both started to sort of want to carve out those times away from each other.
That's good.
It's where it started.
That's balance too, finding balance too. Right. Because I think it is, you do have that emotional, like that honeymoon stage.
You have that honeymoon. We were in each other's face.
And then it's healthy to be able to say, okay, I need to be with my friends. You need to be with your friends.
But to that part, that's where for me was hard, because for him he's just like, okay, yeah, I want to take a step back, I want to start hanging with my friends, which at first I'm okay with, but then it's for me it started to become a little bit too frequent, and I wasn't yet in that space. I think it took me maybe about 2-3 years for me to be like, okay, let me carve out my space for my own. But it was hard.
Because you guys were best friends. So you guys did everything with each other. So that part, and then I think, and then so now, wait, what do you mean you don't want to, you? But I think that it wasn't that you're not my best friend anymore. It's just that now I feel safety here. Now I can go, you know what I mean? I think God wanted you guys to have that bond, really to get to know each other even more deeper as husband and wife now. Now you have family. And then he's just kind of like needs, like my husband's smart. He just needs to just go somewhere just to, just men just need a, they just need
some
to be
space. Yeah, just space.
And it's not, it's never, it's not us. And I think the, when we realize they're not trying to get away from us, they just need to go, if just go to a, not, I'm not going to say it's a club or wherever they need to go, just to listen to some music, play cards with friends, or just play a video game, whatever.
Reset.
Just
reset
and then come back. It's never, and I think that as long as it's being done with respect, you know, they need that, and we need it too. We need that girl time as well. But I think because you don't want is I say sometimes when you only have your boyfriend or you only have your girlfriend or you only have your wife, you only have your husband, and you don't really branch out to have another friend. Even when you go to the doctors, the doctor always say, "Okay, so What activities are you doing? Mm-hmm. What friendships do you have?
Right, mm-hmm. right.
You know, they when they do the little checklist, they're probably doing it with your kids. I don't know if they do it with your mm-hmm. kids yet, but they yeah. have a checklist mm-hmm. because they want to make sure that you're healthy, because friendships and other relationships is a healthy place to be in. You need to make sure that you have someone outside of your spouse. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, but I love the fact that God got you both to a place where you already have set your boundaries. Mm-hmm. You already have found balance in with one another. Like, okay, we can't share all of our business mm-hmm. with these people. So I know right. I'm going to just hang out. I'm mm-hmm. not going to just badmouth you or, you know.
And we had my mentor couple. They were in close proximity to us mm-hmm. still at that time. Mm-hmm. And so we had people that we mm-hmm. could go to. Yeah. And we took a lot of our arguments there to them. Mm-hmm. And I think that is also very, very valuable if you're trying to mm-hmm. work on a balance with respecting one another's opinions mm-hmm. in a way certain situations feel for the other. Because one thing I really learned between me and my wife is that although we're very, very close, she is my mirror. There are a lot of instances in our marriage where although we are going through the exact same circumstance, mm-hmm. we are taking two completely yes. different mm-hmm. situations or perspectives mm-hmm. from it.
Yes. And I started telling her, I was like, did you call your mentor? Like,
right.
I need you to talk to somebody.
Yes.
Yo.
Yeah. That's so good. And so finding good. It, just pouring into each other is not enough mm-hmm. because what happens when you are pouring mm-hmm. and giving mm-hmm. and you find something you don't like? Mm-hmm. Or, mm-hmm. and at least in my case, you find something that you're not quite ready to where something has been identified in you that you're not quite ready to give up yet. Mm-hmm. For me, it was the getting away. Mm-hmm. And then initially, when I first started, just take, for instance, one example of things that sort of devolved into arguments where we needed to find balance, me going out. Mm-hmm. And I went from the first 3 or 4 years not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. My friends, never really seeing them. They had all these stories mm-hmm, and stuff mm-hmm. that they'd gotten. I would come around and, oh, Gabe, you weren't there for that. Ha, ha, ha. You know, stuff like that. And uh-huh. I was fine with it because uh-huh. I'm like, man, I'm rocking. I got my uh-huh. wife. I'm good. Uh-huh. And then after our first son, he was great, but our relationship started mm-hmm, to, mm-hmm. that's when we first started branding each other. Okay, she would say to me, okay, well, you're trying to escape. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. then I would respond mm-hmm. with, you're being a nag. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that's when we got these labels with each other. And so now we have a situation where first started going out, my boy hit me up, I think it was a Sunday. Hey, you know, Gabe, we going to this bar down, mm-hmm. you know, such and such. And she was very like, oh, yeah, go ahead. Because mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I wasn't doing mm-hmm, that. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't really seeing my friends. And so she's like, yeah, go, babe. I got you. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It worked a little too well. Because I got out there and I'm mm-hmm. like, man, dude, this is fun. Mm-hmm, I miss this. Mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. getting out here. I've been married 2-3 years right now. I feel like I should be able to kind of hang with my friends mm-hmm. a little more. I think I bought that right. Mm-hmm. No, it didn't work out like that. And then I had fun. I went through a period of excess where mm-hmm. I was going. It was once every couple of months. Mm-hmm. And then what I didn't understand was I started to like it so much, I got out of balance mm-hmm. because I was trying to go out every weekend.
Yeah.
For like a 3-month period, for like mm-hmm. a whole summer, mm-hmm. I was like, yo, man, we going to this spot, we going to that spot, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. And I didn't see it, but she saw it mm-hmm. and she felt me not there. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what that was like because I'm like,
I was there with my husband.
Right.
Where I'm like, when you come out, you know, right. like,
and,
yeah.
And while I wouldn't,
it was our early stage.
Mm-hmm. Right. And while I wouldn't stay out too long, I was mm-hmm. staying out, you know, I was going out a lot frequently. And then there was a situation where it's like, okay, well, some of these needs to be dates. She would say.
I like that.
And so
okay.
she was just like, yo, man, like, you're going out every day. Why don't you want to go out with me? Mm-hmm. And I had to reckon with that. Like, is it? You. Mm-hmm. And I had to realize that at that point it was where I sort of began to try to escape from her. And it felt to her like rejection. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we argued. And the arguments were some of the arguments were very, very just like unproductive because we're just talking past each other.
Think that what God showed me, he gave me a glimpse. It really wasn't that you were trying to escape from her. It was that you were like, okay, this is family, this is friends. I'm having fun over here. Mm-hmm. I have to provide, mm-hmm. focus, you know, be protector. Mm-hmm. You was work mm-hmm. over there. Mm-hmm. So it was just kind of like, I could just like, whew, mm-hmm. over there. And so it was just kind of like, he really wasn't trying to leave you.
Right.
He was just trying
the
to like.
The pressure, the situation.
Yeah.
And that's definitely what what was it? Nah, it might have been like 3 years ago. We had that conversation where he finally was like, no, it's like, here is, I got to do this. I got to, like, so it was the pressure. Mm-hmm. He's always feeling when he's in the house. It's just like, I feel like I have to do this, 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 and this. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it was understanding like, okay, I have to shift my perspective. Because right now, yes, I feel like you're escaping me. But for him, he was like, no, it's just when I'm here, I feel this like over mounting pressure and expectation. And it was just like, we had to find a balance in that. Like, babe, I just expect you just to be here because we're in the same boat. And I think that's one thing we had to realize is we are really in the same boat. And we're not, you're not over there and, you know, I'm on the Titanic over here feeling like, and then he's just cruising on a princess cruise ship. Like, no, we're literally in the same boat. We just had to recognize that. And so even still to these days, we have those moments where when he first started the job he's at now, he started like, he's like, hey, this, you know, can you do this? Can you do this? And I'm like, babe, okay, things are shifting. You're talking out of exhaustion right now, and I understand that. We're still in the same boat, so we have to figure out how to balance this out.
Because when you involve, you then now it's like you're trying to find out how do I, okay, as you go to one level, balance that level. Do you go to the next level, you balance each level that you go to, and that's deep, you know.
And I think that's
not always easy.
It can be hard, but now I feel like we're finding a little bit better balance with that. So now I just like, I tell him like, let me know what you have planned in advance so I know how to, like, maneuver around it. And so, because sometimes it'll be like, oh, well, I'm, because he likes to do impromptu stuff sometimes. And I'm like, babe, I already had something planned on this day, but I didn't communicate that well with him. So now he's just like, oh, well, I told them that I'll go over here. And I'm like, okay, how are we going to figure that out? Before it would be arguments, like you said, unproductive arguments. And now it's just like, okay, well, how are we going to figure this out? Can any of us shift to a different day, different time? Can you do this? Or, you know, do we need to call somebody? And so now it's, we found like, okay, now
healthy boundaries.
Healthy boundaries, refocusing, shifting around, and not feeling like, I think we said this before in our marriage, like we felt like we were each other's enemies sometimes in the way we would argue. And I'm like, babe, I love you.
Well, no, I think what it is too, you guys got married young. Right. See, a lot of people have to, they don't, when you get married young, I get it. Me and my husband got married at 23. So we got married young. You know, so when you get married young, you grow and you together. And I think a lot of times people don't realize that. You know, they think, oh, you know, especially if they got married older or they already, they was married before. So there's some things that they probably wouldn't go through. But when you get married young, you grow together. You know, you're growing. So you're cultivating together, you're growing together, you're evolving, you all kind of, it's just different forms of growth happening at the same time. And it can be painful and it can be ugly, you know. And I think, and sometimes you're not going to always, it's not going to be a pretty picture of your discussion. It might be a little rough, but when you come back together, it's all about how you return back, you know, together.
And I think now that we've got through the second biggest hurdle, it's beautiful. And that's why I tell people, I'm like, it's hard, but it's beautiful.
Marriage is very hard, but it's the best thing ever.
You know.
And I think when you find the beauty, sometimes those hardest moments is what brings the prettiest. I don't know. I just feel like me and my husband, we just kind of went through a patch where it was like, and then when we came out of it was like, wow, I just love him. Like, he's just like, I love you. It's just a different, but because your love language changes. And my love language has shifted. And my husband's love language is the same. And so, but I'm like, no, but baby, I kind of want to need this now. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it's nothing against what you're doing. But then I needed to elevate my love language to where, too. I can't expect, since mine shifted, that I need to make sure that I'm tapping even deeper in his, even though his stays the same. I need to elevate mine even higher for where his is. You understand what I mean? And now when I have, I'm like, we're good. But when I evolved to this, my love level has shifted, he's like, okay, that's cool, but I'm still doing what I always did. So I can't knock you, and then I don't want him to knock me. Find balance in it. And I think the whole thing in life is finding balance in your marriage and finding balance in whatever level, your stage of your marriage you find yourself in. How do I find balance in that? You know, how I'm still going to love you, because the love is never going to change. It's going to get even stronger, because that's what this is about. But it doesn't mean it's not going to be work. It doesn't need to be done. You know, because it's work. Marriage is work. But are you willing to work?
Right. I think that's I think that's what you hit on just there. One of the ways that we were able to at least get through that, because like that wasn't even the end. It's not going to be the end. We're going to go through our more. I'm pretty sure we got our own fair share of struggles ahead of us as well. But I think the way we were able to navigate through that is, and it's something I've learned just being married, is that you'll never be able to get balance if you're too dug in on any one issue. Never dig too deep into one set mentality or preference or whatever it might be in your marriage, because at some point you're going to have to adjust. You're going to have to adjust, whether it's financially, you know, or maybe you never go through financial hardship. It's going to be relationally.
Something.
Maybe, health-wise.
Lost, family loss.
Never have a personal preference that is too dug in. Obviously on the basics, right? No abuse, infidelity, things like that.
Yes.
There are things that are non-starters, non-negotiable, things like that. But outside of that, the things where your personality might come into play or your love language might come into play or your just sort of general, the way you want your house to be run might come into play. You won't be able to get a balance with a person if you're so dug in one direction that they are never able to prevail upon you at all. So, like even just taking that example of me wanting to talk out things. If I was so dug in on that and I dealt with arguments the same way I always have dealt with arguments, I don't think we would have ever gotten there. Because I would have always just walked away. I ain't got time to argue with you. I'm out of here. You know what I mean? Like she was, and in that time, I'd like to say that I went from being a very sort of passive husband initially into a couple of 3-4 years into the marriage, you realize like, okay, well, hold on, you got it too good around here. You know what I mean? Like that was my perspective. And so I felt like, okay, well, even in the going out, I feel like I've earned the right now to be more assertive and like, okay, well, nah, it ain't cool this time. I really kind of feel this way. And I kind of want to dig in this way because, you know, I don't say nothing normal the time, but that's not important. You know, that's just how you do things. What's important is how well you're able to adjust with when her needs and your needs clash.
That's good.
Are you willing to adjust? I wasn't for a lot of time. And especially after 3 or 4 years of marriage, you do feel like you bought a little bit of equity with the other person. Like, okay, look, man, I ain't been around my friends in 3 years and now I done went out 4 or 5 times, you tripping. Things like that, I had to learn to not take my own voice away because it's valid. And if you feel like that, some of that stuff, it was nothing wrong with the way that I felt or wanting
to. It wasn't nothing wrong with you going out with your friends.
It was the way that I went about it. And it was where my mind was when I was sort of defending myself. Shouldn't have to defend myself to my partner because I'm explaining to you what I feel like in this space would make me feel a little better. Are you willing to compromise? Okay, well, you're not willing to compromise. You feel like I've been out multiple times this week and I need to stay home tonight. Okay, is it worth going out and having a good time and coming back to you angry, or should I just hang back? Can I stand to not go out tonight? You know, and those are the ways you find balance, because it's just decisions. It's options, it's choices. Okay, I can deal with the upset wife if I do that. And maybe I'm right. And maybe her being upset is not right, and that's just something that but I'm adding an extra argument onto it if I go this way. And I know that I am. Is it worth it? Is it in my own best interest? Is it in my household's best interest if I take this liberty to stand in my rightness? Or is it better to bring it to the table? And learning in marriage, finding balance is always best to bring it to the table. Even if it's something that you feel like you shouldn't have to. That's marriage. I'm pouring into this other person. I'm not by myself. And so even if I have the best idea in the world, I got to run it by you.
So good.
You know, and that's where you can find. Go ahead. Go, babe.
One of the ways we got there is vulnerability. I think that was, I still remember a lot of conversations where, like, we're both, like, super emotional, but not in a bad way, but we're just like breaking down. And I think those are those breakthrough moments where we're like, okay, like when I was pregnant with Lennox, we had one of those moments and he's just like, okay, I see where you're coming from.
It was rough. That Lennox was rough.
Lennox pregnancy was rough. And then maybe about 2 years ago, it was another one of those moments. And it started off as just me kind of like, I think he was having one of those moments where he's just like not there, mm-hmm. but he's kind of coasting and just, mm-hmm. around. I'm like, mm-hmm. babe, you got to talk these things through with me. Mm-hmm. And he had
but
one
like
of those
he said,
moments.
He was passive. So it's kind of like, mm-hmm. that was one of the things that I, you know, being, because people say, you're not passive. Yes, my dad was passive. Mm-hmm. So I have both my mom and my dad in me. My mm-hmm. mom was more witty. She was more like straight shooter. I have a little bit of that in me, but I have my dad too. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes I can with like, I don't want to deal with that. Let me just process and just hold it mm-hmm. to hold it in. But, and so he had to like, I can't just keep holding it in because she gonna run over me if I do that. Because mm-hmm. with your personality, you're dominant. You have that, you know mm-hmm. how you are, neat. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You're right. Like, and so he had to find his balance. I can't be passive because mm-hmm. I still need to be the man that I need to be in my marriage. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I deserve the right to do these things. But yet, how can I make sure she's not confident?
Empowered, I guess you could say.
Yes, right. At the same time mm-hmm. as we both can win in this area.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Sorry, Fish. And that came through him being vulnerable. Mm-hmm. Because for me, I'm just like, I just see this person who's just kind of moving about, and I'm just like, what is going on? I know his body language. I know mm-hmm. he's like inside. He shuts down when he's shifting. Mm-hmm. And it annoys him sometimes. He's like, I'm okay. And I'm just like, you're not okay. Mm-hmm. But it took those vulnerable moments where we're literally digging deep and we're just like,
that's good.
Like, mm-hmm. just all this stuff is coming out. And I'm like, that helps so much. He's like, I don't like it in this way, but I'm like, I need that.
But you need that. Right.
So I understand.
But you need it too. You don't realize it. Mm-hmm. You need it too, but it's not always easy to do, you know.
Never easy right. to do. But it on the other side of things, I understand a little bit more. I'm like, okay. And that, because, I could be domineering. And mm-hmm. so it helps me to kind of mm-hmm. take a step back, like, okay, this is how he's feeling. So now when he's mm-hmm. in those spaces, I'm going through this, hey, is this how you're feeling? Mm-hmm, is this what's mm-hmm. going on? He's just like, I don't know, but I think that is it. And it's taking him some time to kind of process, mm-hmm. but it helps me move and navigate, like, okay.
Because you want your husband to be good. Mm-hmm. I don't care no matter what. Even though you want to be good as well, but mm-hmm. you want your husband. If my husband's not good, I'm not good.
Exactly.
My day is not. I'm not having a good day. Mm-mm. If we had a disagreement or it didn't go float, I'm not good. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to, even on my work, I'm trying to work through. I'm thinking about, is he good? Or he's trying to make sure I'm good. Yeah, when you love mm-hmm. your spouse,
oh yeah,
if it's not good, you're not good. Mm-hmm. You know, and you can't pretend to be something that you're not.
Oh no,
you know, when
not.
You love a person for real, mm-hmm. that true love, you know, mm-hmm. and you like he said, I know her, you know, and you know him, mm-hmm. and I think that's so important to get to know your spouse. And the one of the benefits is you married your best friend, mm-hmm. you know, and so and in that. Getting to the place like, hey, you're gonna go and hang out with your friends, and then like you said, you had to come and say, well, I have to hang out with mine too. Like, mm-hmm. hold on, we can, that, you know, now we both, because your friends was probably missing you too. Mm-hmm. You know, so it was kind of like,
right.
And that's the thing. It's funny because now we understand. Like he'll do maybe every other weekend. Now it's far less because we got two kids, we got jobs, our lives are chaotic right now. Yeah. But I noticed he'll do, you know, maybe once or twice a month. I'll build up my time and I'll be gone for a whole weekend.
That's what I was going to say. That's what I was going to say. You just came back on a trip from with your best friend. Mm-hmm. So
exactly.
So she's the going outer now.
Yeah.
More so. Neither one of us really leave the house most of the time. We kind of, we're together. We're mm-hmm. a unit. Mm-hmm. And, but we carve out time now. Now mm-hmm. it's we carve out the time. It's the balance mm-hmm. that, and that's why I said, like, I can't give myself too much credit because the balance kind of found itself. Mm-hmm. And another thing is what I was saying about not digging in too deep on any one stance because mm-hmm. at that time, because of the amount of years, I felt like I was justified to go out and hang out, even if I felt like it was every week, you know, which is a little bit irrational mm-hmm. because you're, you know, you're
you
a married
think about
couple.
It.
Yeah, you're a married mm-hmm. couple. Like every week, four times a month doesn't sound like a lot, but five of those days.
Where did that leave her?
Right.
Then she's
right.
feeling like, well, man, you're not taking me. I want to
right,
be.
Right.
I
theoretically, like four times a month doesn't sound like a whole hell of a lot of time away from your family. But if five of those days is spent working mm-hmm. and dealing with the family, mm-hmm. then it's really only those 2 days that you guys really have mm-hmm. to kind of pour into each other most mm-hmm. of the time because my wife and everybody with the church and stuff on Sunday, you're kind of cutting that even in half. Mm-hmm. So it's like you got about a day and a half yeah. to really set some time mm-hmm. for each other. Mm-hmm. And so it did look like irrational mm-hmm. after a certain while. And mm-hmm. I had to reckon with that. I'm like, mm-hmm. yeah, kind of. And after a while, because dig too deep into that particular sort of like my right to go out as much as I want to. It left room for the way that my feelings changed about even going out. Like, I realized that that was a phase in my life. I wanted to sort of, me and her weren't, our arguments, things like that, it felt like pressure at home. And I just needed to get away from that. And so really, I kind of just needed to get out of that space between the two of us. And it wasn't the going out. It really wasn't the going out. It was the feeling like when I'm around here, I'm being pressured. Once we got past that, and it was more so like, nah, bro, like, you're not, this is us.
And you want to have peace in your home. That's so important. Right. I think a lot of people, you want your house to be a place where you know you're going to have joy and peace. You don't want to be somewhere and it's like, you know. So when you've got family, you guys got to that place where, okay, let me just realize, I know I'm a, because you're a man. It comes with providing and, you know, and being that protector and being daddy and being husband. But it's like at the same time, I just want to just be Gabriel. I just want to just chill.
And I wasn't, at that time, I didn't like where I was working. And I wasn't making the money that I felt like I should have been making. I was in a rebound from the COVID era after losing my job and things like that. I was kind of climbing myself back up. And so even in that moment, my ego sort of took a really, really big hit. And you don't ever want to, you know, feel like, especially if you're not working or getting consistent employment, there's a, especially society, there's a the stigma attached to you. And that's a dark place to be in when you not, feel like you're not contributing financially. Even if you're in other the other areas, it kind of shows where we prioritize a lot of our feelings because in those moments you feel like, okay, well, it seems like I'm doing the important stuff right. Look at father. You know, my kids are safe. They're well fed. My wife feels loved. She feels cared for. But the check that I'm bringing home every month is not the amount that I want. And that alone is enough to make a man feel very, very inadequate. And it, I honestly, obviously sinking in that is not good, but I think that men should keep that level of you know, that little fire under your pants. Like, nah, bruh, it's not okay to be at home chilling. You know what I mean? Yeah, everybody goes through things.
But
it has to look like something. Your everyday life needs to look like something. And so we were able to find a somewhat of a balance even with that because she's the more structured one of the two of us. And that's what attracted me when we were dating is I was very young. So very immature. I didn't know a lot about the life that I was stepping out into after, you know, 18, 19, 20. I was very much so still trying to figure figure that stuff out. And all I had was her. And I used to look at her life and I'm like, man, you got it. You got it. You got your stuff going on. Like, you in college and then you had your, the next step after college, it seemed like such a seamless transition into the career world and things like that. And so I'm like, I need that. I don't have it. I'm not as structured. I'm not as goal oriented. I'm impulsive. I got a lot of talents, but a lot of times I don't know which direction to apply them in. And so I have a lot of, I can get to this place where I have a lot of unfulfilled commitments because I didn't plan it out. I had a lot of good ideas, but I didn't plan it out. And I knew that was who she was. And I wanted that in my life. And so in those moments in the marriage where I had to be open to seeing that, okay, well, maybe this is not her being overbearing. Maybe this is an area where she's more structured than you. She's a little more responsible than you. And so don't dig in too much. Maybe you're wrong. There were times where I was right. And then there were a lot of times where I was wrong.
And I like that. I like when you actually look into and examine, like, okay, hold on. Why is this happening? What is this tension really coming from? And when you say, okay, hold on, I need to evolve in this area. You know, I need to step it up. And then, no, I'm cool here, but I need to do, that's good. That's
just, she was as gracious as she could be, I think. And there were times I noticed where her responses would get a little harsher and harsher. Listen, no one is, the realities of what two married couples are going to go through is like it individually. So like for a professional career, that impacts your partner. Your creative life, what do you do for hobbies? That impacts your partner. And so those things, when they're sort of falling off or things are not sort of sustaining the way you would want to, you got to get over the idea of this being sort of my thing. Mm-hmm. That's something I got to share with her.
Yes.
And so I can't be, I would have to say that like balance is the only option if mm-hmm. we're going to keep this thing going. Mm-hmm. And you find that out pretty quickly once you start arguing with somebody every day. And then you realize, okay, we've argued every other day. Something's got to give.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And after a while, even when the times where it's like a sudden jolt of love doesn't just overtake you mm-hmm. after an argument, like, mm-hmm. no, like, mm-hmm. we don't talk to each other for about an hour or 2 hours. Some people, you know, some arguments was overnight where yes. we just was like, I went to bed mad and, you know, mm-hmm. I woke up mad and stuff yes. like that. But after a certain point, it's like there's something that kind of gets you back into this mode of like, okay, well, you can't live like this.
Mm-hmm.
You got to talk to them. Mm-hmm. You got to bring it to them. If it's my ego mm-hmm. that I need to bring,
yes.
I got to bring it.
Yes.
If it's, you know, if I've been looking outside of my marriage or whatever,
mm-hmm.
you got to bring that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything that you go through, everything, when your love language changes, you got to bring that.
Mm-hmm.
It starts with being aware of who you are with.
That awareness is so important.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that is so good, you know, finding, who am I? Because
mm-hmm.
we change. Mm-hmm. We're evolving. It's, you know, evolution is happening.
Mm-hmm.
So when evolution happens, you know, how do I adjust to it? I think that's really good. You guys had me cracking up earlier when you were talking about you guys, like, we're seasoned now. You guys
are
young couple, but you're seasoned. How did you guys find this? And if you had to say it, it's so funny. If you had to come up with a seasoning, what seasoning would you say that you are? What season? Like season of salt, Lori, season of salt.
Lori.
Lemon pepper. What would you say?
Oh, man.
Cajun.
He probably would say something like Cajun.
No, with her, it would probably be onion powder.
Mm.
Probably be onion powder because it's subtle.
Mm.
But it's there.
Mm.
If you've ever cooked with onion powder or garlic powder or something like that, it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's small.
Mm-hmm.
Got to probably give it a couple layers.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't have it, you know.
That's good.
You know it's not there. It's like onion is a very distinct
mm-hmm.
flavor. It's mm-hmm. a very it adds its own thing to the dish. And it's not like a small thing.
Mm.
But you don't notice it all the time. Because you're like, it's just onion powder.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of think subconsciously, like, how necessary really is that?
Mm-hmm.
But anybody that knows how to cook, you know, especially mm-hmm. people that, black folks,
mm-hmm.
You know how important some things are mm-hmm. to certain dishes. And mm-hmm. so I would probably say that's her. It's like, she's very subtle.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't, it's like, people when they meet her, it's not like a, it's an oddly fulfilling experience. They
mm-hmm.
feel like they've known her for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of how it is. She creeps up on you, but when she's not there, it's like her, mm-hmm. she's not, her it's press, evident.
Oh, yes.
It's evident.
Yes, yes.
And it's one of the things, like another thing that attracted me to her is that aspect of how welcoming she is.
Mm-hmm.
How welcoming she is, but how much you could miss her if you mm-hmm. were in the same room as her.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not like looking for
mm-hmm.
the qualities that she has, you'll miss it.
That's good. That's good.
And it will be to your detriment, I think, in my perspective.
Oh, I love that.
Because I saw it. And I think that's one of the things that attracted me to her the most.
I love that.
In that moment is like, she has no idea
mm-hmm.
that she really liked that.
Mm-hmm.
She don't know.
Mm-hmm.
She just goes about life.
Mm-hmm.
She's just waking up. She's at school. She's, you know, with her friends and,
mm-hmm.
you know, getting taken advantage of mm-hmm. at times.
Yeah.
But even by me,
mm-hmm.
Early on, I knew that I loved her, but I didn't know how to.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just thought like, yo, let me pull up, hug up on you, rev mm-hmm. up on you. That was, you know, I was mm-hmm. 18, 19, 20 when we were dating.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was my idea. And that was the extent to which I could
mm-hmm.
show my love, mm-hmm. express my love. Mm-hmm. So the things that required a little more of me, the things that, you know, the personal character development things,
mm-hmm.
I wasn't there yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went through our time. And once I was able to get there, I wasn't even there yet when we got married, but I was ready.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't there yet, but mm-hmm. I was ready to get to another space in our relationship. And so with her, she's so subtle, but she's so evident. She's so there.
Ooh,
and
the onion powder.
I love that. I love that about her. I'm so attracted to that because me, I don't know. She's a very different portion of me. We're like two sides of the same coin.
I love mm-hmm. that.
Because I'm good with not being there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good with not being acknowledged.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of would like to float through life
mm-hmm.
kind of
mm-hmm.
without
mm-hmm.
making any major impressions on people, especially if I don't really value what they have to offer. She's shown me that mm-hmm. that's not mm-hmm. always the way you want to live. Mm-hmm. You want people to see you coming and like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, I pulled up at mm-hmm. church. Some people you pull up at church and you're like, oh, okay, such and such came to church today. Mm-hmm. Some people you pull up, it's like, oh, such and such is here. Ugh. Mm-hmm. And then there's some people that you pull up with and you're like, okay, yeah. Church gonna be good today. Mm-hmm. We got all our folks in here. Mm-hmm. She's one of those people.
That's good. So. That's good, Gabriel. What about her? What season? What you say about Gabriel?
Oh, Lord. No, he's over here with the wordsmith. Honestly, I would say salt, but specifically Himalayan salt.
So okay,
that was our first. We were on a Himalayan salt kick. I our first week. Every time we went to the store, it was Himalayan salt.
I had a big thing, it's Himalayan salt. But I would say that because, well, two reasons. When he's not around, he's missed. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't realize it. Mm-hmm. And it's a big, like, something mm-hmm. is missing. Like, mm-hmm. even when I go around family or friends, and it's just like, mm-hmm. somebody, it feels like something's missing. Mm-hmm. Somebody's missing. Mm-hmm. And then when he's there, they're like, that's what it's just, it brings a lot of flavor. It enhances mm-hmm. the experience that you're with. Mm-hmm. And I would say specifically Himalayan salt, because when you know the difference, mm-hmm. salt is, it can be overpowering something. Yes. Like, you use too much of it, it's just mm-hmm. like, okay.
Mm-hmm. You ruin your dish.
You ruin the mm-hmm. dish. But when you use Himalayan salt, you notice it's a slight difference, mm-hmm. but it enhances, and it's almost like a... it makes it better. Mm-hmm. He's just like, mm-hmm. I like that. And I feel like he's grown from just regular salt to Himalayan. When he's around, it enhances the experience. It's almost like a, like, because now he's more quiet and soft spoken. Mm-hmm. If you were known young Gabe, walk into a room, it's just, that's Gabe.
No. That's true. And I honestly kind of can see the salt comparison, how I kind of transitioned from regular salt to Himalayan salt, because early on, people got this impression of me that I was very mean and very mm-hmm. stoic mm-hmm. and very callous. Mm-hmm. Some of that is true. Where I come from, mm-hmm. got a little story, a couple of stories. Everything didn't work in my life, fall in my life the way that, you know, others have. I came from a rough background. Mm-hmm. I've experienced roughness my entire life. Mm-hmm. I grew up and I had to be tough. Mm-hmm. And that toughness turned to being callous as I sort of grew. Mm-hmm. The immature version of mm-hmm. me calling myself tough ended up with an older adult version of me that was sort of more callous. Mm-hmm. A lot of things didn't affect me. People wow. dying. I've gotten to a point mm-hmm. in my life where there were people that would die in my life, I wouldn't even cry anymore.
Ooh.
Because not that I didn't feel strongly mm-hmm. about them, it was just I had accepted it as a fact of life because yes. of how often that it would happen. Lack of employment, that's another one of those things. Mm-hmm. Come from where I come from, it's not many opportunities. The ones you get, a lot of times, the turnover is yes. high, especially when you're 18, 19, you're jumping into some of them jobs. Mm-hmm. A lot of those jobs are designed for high mm-hmm. turnover. They're mm-hmm. getting you in and getting you out. And so I had to get over that and things like that. And so, it was a journey. She's been on a journey with me mm-hmm. and I'm still changing and I'm still learning things about mm-hmm. myself mm-hmm. and I'm still, you know, liking certain ways and not liking certain things about myself even now today. And so.
Would I say, is it the gold or the pink?
I don't know if we tried
we haven't tried the gold.
But okay. The pink, for sure.
Okay.
Probably in another 10 years, we'll probably hit the gold.
Okay. Okay. Well, you know what? I wanted to say that this was great. This was really great. This was great. I really enjoyed you seasoned, you know, the young seasoned couple. You know, I just wanted to say thank you so much for just joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Faith Over Facts. I am Robert Renee. Bye. Thank you for tuning in to Faith Over Facts. Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe. We have new episodes every Friday. If you would like to support the ministry by donating or purchasing Faith Over Facts merch, please do so by visiting my website, RobinReneeMinistries.com. See you next time. Bye-bye.